Faced with the prospect of going out to dinner by yourself, is this how you imagine it going down?
Yes.
All right, do you have a table for dinner?
Yeah, to me, sir. How many in your pie?
I'm alone.
Alone? Follow me, sir.
An awkward moment from the 1984 film The Lonely Guy. But not everyone approaches the idea of dining solo with that sense of dread. Maybe you love the idea of being able to focus on your food and people watch while you're waiting.
People tend to fall in one of two camps about doing things alone. We either love to be able to enjoy movies, meals, and even vacations all by ourselves, or we're more likely to stay home than go solo.
The thing is, with more than a quarter of Americans living alone and many people putting off marriage until later, a lot of us don't have that built-in companion to venture out with. But that raises the question for a lot of people, are we embarrassed to go solo or missing out if we don't?
Bella DiPaolo has been studying single people in American society for over 20 years. She's the author of Singled Out, How Singles Are Stereotyped, Stigmatized, and Ignored, and Still Live Happily Ever After. In her TEDx talk, What No One Ever Told You About People Who Are Single Has Been Viewed More Than 500,000 Times. Bella, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me. What a great topic.
What a great topic indeed. And I want to start by asking you, why is it so terrifying for some people to go out by themselves?
Oh, you know, they think they're being judged. And I have to admit, the very first study I ever did on people being alone in public, which was 20 years ago, I thought the same thing. So we did this study where we took pictures of people alone and with other people in restaurants. And I thought, my colleagues thought, the people dining alone would be judged more harshly. And they weren't. It was so amazing. We collected people's responses, you know, what they thought about when they saw these various pictures. And it's not like no one ever said anything mean about the people dining alone, but they were just as likely to say snarky things about the couples. Like, you know, she's upset. They're going to have a talk because their relationship is mending. She went out to dinner with him out of obligation. She's married to him. So I think that we are just getting it wrong about how we think other people see us when we go out and about on our own.
So the takeaway is people are probably a lot less interested in us in our personal affairs than what we really think. Is that right?
They're probably a little less interested and less judgmental. Mm. I think that's the key part, you know. And it's true, interesting. You know, they're probably focusing on their own dinner, and if they're with somebody else, they're focusing on their own companion. But even if they do see you, they might be less judgmental. Or we also got some great responses from people who said, wow, he just seems to be enjoying his dinner so much. Mm. Or my favorite one was someone who looked at a guy dining by himself and said, he is secure.
Mm. Well, and so you've been looking at this topic for a long time. Have you seen a shift from when you started to now in maybe more acceptable views, kind of like what you were saying, towards people who might be out there dining by themselves or doing by themselves? Are we getting better at looking positively at these people?
I think so. I don't know of a study that has actually traced that systematically over time, but it does seem to be getting more acceptable and even something that people yearn for and cling to. I mean, people who are in charge of travel agencies and people in the travel industry say solo travel is increasing greatly. And interestingly, it's not just by people who are single. Even people who are partnered sometimes travel alone just because they want that time to themselves. And I think that's one of the big things that's changing, is that more and more often we want our alone time, regardless of whether we're single or partnered or living with someone or not. And I think it starts with children who, if they're in a family where their parents can afford it, will give them rooms of their own. So they are already growing up expecting and getting used to having rooms of their own. And then they get to college, and it's not like, you know, the olden days where everybody got paired with a roommate. I mean, students are just clamoring to have their own room, at least in a suite.
I'm wondering, too, if
not all by themselves.
I'm wondering, too, if we see kind of like a hierarchy of things that people are willing to do, willing to go to by themselves. I think of myself, I'm willing to go to a coffee shop by myself, maybe sit there and read a book. Do I want to do the same thing at the bar? I'm a little more nervous about that. I'm wondering if we do have this hierarchy, and if so, where that comes from. Because really, at the end of the day, there's not too much of a difference between sitting at the coffee shop and sitting at the bar, except that one serves alcohol.
Right. That might make a difference. I think it's partly what is commonplace. So it's almost like restaurants, you might feel more comfortable going to lunch by yourself, but dinner, that's a little more iffy, and even there's a hierarchy of dinner experiences, so you might be willing to go to an informal restaurant on your own more readily than a formal one. And so part of it is just the expectations and norms about what going to a really nice restaurant is supposed to mean. And, you know, it got all bundled up with romantic themes or the other end of it, family night. So there's that. And then the more, and part of the normative part of it is what other people are doing. So if you're in a coffee shop, there are probably lots of other people there by themselves, so you don't feel so conspicuous. Whereas if you go out to a nice restaurant by yourself, there might not be as many people who are also there by themselves, although I do think that's increasing, too. That open table reservation format did a study, I think, a year or two ago, and they found that requests for reservations for one were increasing.
We are talking with Bella DiPaolo about why we like or don't like going out and doing things by ourselves. And Bella, I mentioned that example of me going out to a coffee shop. I'm sitting there, I'm reading a book. Maybe if I don't have a book, I'm scrolling through my phone. I'm not necessarily like present with what I'm doing and the people around me. I'm kind of in my own little world. You could look at it as I've got a shield in front of me because I've got something. Like I'm doing a task. And I'm wondering if we're more likely to go out and do these things if we have that other thing that we can focus on.
Yes, a couple things about that. I think that's true. It is that shield. And I taught a course on single people in society, and one of the assignments was to go out to lunch or dinner alone. And my students were really into it, and so they changed the assignment. And they said it had to be dinner, and you couldn't bring any newspapers, you know, any of those kinds of distractions. You had to really do it. And the second point about that is by letting yourself get into all these distractions, you are depriving yourself of some of the most wonderful things about being on your own, which is getting to, you know, think deeply or not think deeply and just, you know, let your mind wander or kind of look at the people or what's going on around you, are really savoring your food and your experiences. So that part of just letting yourself soak in what's happening inside you and around you when you're by yourself is a wonderful aspect of it. You know, the New York Times travel writer Stephanie Rosenblum has this new book out called Alone Time. And she has this great quote, which is, when you're out alone with no one else across from you, I'm botching her quote, but anyway, when you're sitting alone, you're sitting across from the world.
You know, talking about this got me thinking of an experience I had a few years back where I had signed up for a tennis league with a coworker, and I'd never done this before, and I was all excited about it, and then the first night of the tennis league rolled around, he is deathly sick, he can't go. My first thought is, well, I guess I'm skipping it, I guess I'm not going, and then I thought about it, and I was like, well, okay, maybe I should go, maybe I should give it a shot, and that was an instance where I couldn't go, and I couldn't sit in front of the book, or I couldn't sit in front of my phone. I had to go there and swing the tennis racket around with people. people. And I actually found that it was a good experience because I was able to meet a couple new people, some of whom I still play with today. I'm wondering if this is a situation that you hear similar things from your students or other people that you work with often.
Yes, for sure. That it's the kind of ironic aspect of doing things by yourself is that you're more likely to meet new people. Instead of just hanging out with the person you went with and doing everything with them and all your conversations are with them, you're kind of open to other people. And yes, I've heard many stories about meeting people and staying in touch with them for years and years and years.
We are talking right now with Bella DiPaolo about flying solo and why doing things alone can be a great option.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you love to do things alone? Are you willing to do things solo if it's the only option? Or do you avoid being out on your own at all cost? If you enjoy being on your own, what about it appeals to you? If you don't, what holds you back? What freaks you out about it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
Right now, we're picking up the conversation with Bella DiPaolo about the advantages of doing things like eating out, going to a movie, or even taking a vacation by yourself.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, questions, and experiences. Do you like getting out and doing stuff on your own, whether it's the restaurant, the theater, maybe a road trip, or if it's the option of doing a thing by yourself or not at all, you go with not at all. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or join the conversation on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
And Bella, I had a hunch that we were going to hear from some listeners on this topic, and we've got callers lining up, so we're going to go right to the phones. Barbara in Appleton, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. I just got back from a 3.5-week road trip by myself.
Wow.
And I'll say that I am married, and I went by myself. My ultimate destination was in Florida to be with my mother, who has cancer. But I wanted to drive short distances all the way and stop in towns and cities that normally I would pass by, that I was always curious about. And I just had the best time. No matter where I was, I would meet people and talk to people and ask locals where's the best place to eat, what they like about where they live. I stayed in Airbnbs and met, a couple from England, a couple from Germany. It was just the most amazing experience, and I would do it again in a heartbeat.
Well, Barbara, thank you so much for that call, and all the best to your mom. Bella, how important is it, hearing a story like Barbara's makes me think about, that had to have been something, she had to step outside of her comfort zone, I would imagine, especially with travel. How important is it, no matter who we are, to step out of our comfort zone, psychologically, every now and then?
It can be a good experience. And, even if you do it and you don't have the wonderful experience that Barbara just described, you can still feel proud of yourself for trying.
Barbara, thank you.
A lot of people won't.
Barbara, thank you again for that call. We're going to go next to Lizzie in Madison. Hi, Lizzie.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. Go right ahead.
Well, I had to call in because I'm in my 70s now, but once upon a time in my 20s, I was living in Japan, and I met an American, and we were going to go from Tokyo to Moscow to Europe, and in 2 weeks, we were going to visit Europe. Well, at the last minute, she couldn't go, and I was about to say, well, I guess I shouldn't go either. This was in the 60s, and it was still the Soviet Union, and not Russia, and well, I went by myself, and was on a Russian boat to Vladivostok. I was on the Siberian Railway by myself, and I was a very shy 26-year-old, and I just met so many interesting people, and then I got to Moscow, and I met a girl on the train, on the boat, so that we went around Moscow together. She was from Britain, And then from there, I went to Helsinki. I wasn't going to go that with my American friends. And then I went to Stockholm, and I went through Sweden, where my grandmother had been born, visited relatives for a couple of weeks in Malmö, and went all over Europe with people that my parents knew.
And Lizzie, I'm gonna jump in because I want to have Bella respond to this. You know, Bella, we're hearing stories about people who traveled the United States, traveled the world by themselves. But if you want to go out and have an experience by yourself, it doesn't need to be a major production, does it? Like, this is something that, you know, maybe someone could benefit from just going out and seeing a movie by themselves.
Yes, totally. Or going out to dinner or just going somewhere locally. One of the things Stephanie Rosenblum did was to treat New York City, where she lives, like a tourist would, and she decided to go out and explore all sorts of places that she had never gone to before, to really get a sense of what it was like to explore New York City on her own. So, yeah, I think that's a wonderful thing. You can do mini trips, or, like you said, the movies, or going out to dinner, or just going to local culture or local events on your own, or even go a little further. I mean, take a train somewhere and go to the next stop and spend a nice day there.
Lizzie, thank you so much for that call. Let's keep going with callers now. Let's go to Jordan in Madison. Hi, Jordan.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I love going to music concerts and movie theaters by myself, because sometimes if my friend isn't having as much fun as I am, then it feels like I can't have as much fun. So I like going alone because it frees me up to have as much fun as I want to.
Jordan, thanks so much for the call, and I'm glad that you brought that up. Bella, something about going out and doing things by ourselves. We are in total control. We don't necessarily have to worry about whether or not someone is having a good time. We don't have to worry about where we're going to go to dinner. There's something to be said for like being the one to make all the decisions.
Yes, and you can be totally flexible. If something grabs your attention, you can follow that. If you get bored, you can go home. And, yeah, so I think that having that control over what you do and when you want to do it is a really nice thing about doing things alone. And I'm really impressed that he goes to concerts by himself. I mean, concerts are such a, you know, social kind of activity that I think that's great that he does that.
So we are talking about, you know, concerts, movies, travel, everything. You know, for some of us, this is right in our wheelhouse. For some of us, you know, we may have always felt, this is not really my thing. I don't know if I could do this. What are some just general tips that you could offer, some general advice to maybe make it a little bit easier for someone who feels uncomfortable to go out and try to experience something by themselves?
Yeah, I think it would be to start with the things that are less threatening. So if you want to learn to go out to meals by yourself, start with lunch or start with off hours when not that many people are around, or start with places that are kind of informal. And then you can kind of build your way up after that.
And I'm also wondering, too, I've been seeing some news stories about restaurants and other establishments that are trying to make their eating areas a little bit more friendly to solo diners, places like that. Do you think that places like that have a role in being more welcoming to people who are there by themselves?
Sure, they can. Some of the things they offer are sometimes like community tables, so if you want to actually join in with other people, you can do that. Or some places offer those kind of defenses that we were talking about before. You know, they'll hand you a newspaper or let you do something like that. And I think also what they need to do is not assume that you want to be hidden. One thing that used to happen early on when I talked to people about this is they'd say, you know, if I show up by myself, though, put me all the way in the back next to the swinging doors going into the kitchen. And I think we don't want that anymore, or not everybody does anyway.
Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to Ruth next in Madison. Hi, Ruth.
Hi. I just had a comment. I have been single for 18 years. I absolutely love being by myself. I'm somewhat of an introvert. I have traveled the world as a singleton, and I really enjoy it. What I have found so difficult is being with people who are always with their mobile phones. Mm. They're either sticking them in your face to look at pictures or they're texting to someone. And I have found that really off-putting because I really love life around me, the trees, the wind, the breeze, the smell. And I just enjoy not having to be, maybe it seems a little selfish, but I just enjoy being on my own and doing my own thing.
And Ruth, we are running out of time, so we're going to leave it there. But Bella, this idea of just putting the phones down, putting the technology down, it sounds like this can be a great way to just to go out and disconnect for a little while.
Oh, absolutely. And when you have your phone, you're kind of, you're not getting the true direct experience of the world around you or the people around you. So I totally agree with Ruth. Everything except when she said she's selfish. She is not selfish. She's wonderful.
Well, that is a great place to leave it. Bella, thank you so much for joining us today.
Okay, thank you.
Bella DiPaolo has been studying single people in American society for over 20 years. She's the author of Singled Out, How Singles Are Stereotyped, Stigmatized, and Ignored, and Still Live Happily Ever After. She was with us to talk about why it can be great to go out and do things on your own.
And you can keep the conversation going over on the Ideas Network Facebook page and read what others have to say while you're there. Have you always been comfortable doing things on your own? If not, is that still true? You're not comfortable doing that? Or did you get to a point where you can enjoy yourself, enjoy your own company, and get out and do things alone? If you're not quite there yet, what are the obstacles? What makes it hard for you? Is there something you'd like to see, say, at a restaurant that would make it easier for you to dine solo? Share your stories, your experiences, maybe, over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.